Are you looking to make a podcast? Well, if you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. First off, it's free. Nothing is better than free. Am I right? Anchor provides creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more services. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, which is very refreshing for very fresh, new podcasts looking to get their start. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Welcome back to the Swamp, my friends. Today we are once again telling tales from viewers just like you. These viewers sent in stories from their hunting trips that'll freak you out. If you have a hunting story or something else you would like to share in a future video, be sure to submit it at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I'd love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. It's stories like yours that help keep this channel going. Now, without further ado, let's get into these creepy stories that'll keep you up tonight. I'm a person who is not scared easily, but when this happened, I was terrified. So I have been hunting for a few years now up in northern Wisconsin. I practically grew up there. After a very creepy morning, by that I mean I had left the cabin at around 4 in the morning, while I was walking over to my stand, I felt as though I was being followed. I felt as though something was watching me. I shook it off thinking that a deer or a bird or something had been following me, maybe out of curiosity. So I got to my stand, and I felt as I was still being watched or something. I just could not shake this feeling. By the time it had turned into day, I was beginning to go and pack up my gear. I got down and saw a few wolf tracks and a little blood. It seemed pretty normal to me because they do frequently kill deer, bear, and other wild animals. So I get to the cabin and I had taken off all of my oranges and had sat down to watch the Packers game. After the game, I took a nap, and when I was awoken, it was dark. So my father, brother, and I all had dinner, and they went back to their cabin. I had sat there in my cabin watching TV when I heard something outside. At first, I simply passed it off as the wind. Seeing as there was a blizzard outside, it only made sense. I realized that I was running low on wood in the wood box in my cabin. So I went outside, and I thought I had seen something in the light near the corn pile. Now, at the same time, I had just the other day read an odd story about some kind of creature that had a bunch of loggers nearby in the 1800s, had been attacked by a massive, sort of tiger-like thing. I had thought it had been a deer, thinking that story had been just that, a story. As I had left the cabin, the thing moved. It was around 2 meters in length and taller than myself. I am 5'10". The second that I seen it move, I booked it into the cabin. I quickly put the magazine into my rifle and opened the chamber and was looking into the window, watching its pace around the pile. Just out of view of the light. I stayed up the rest of the night watching it until I had finally felt that it had gone away. The next morning I went to where it had been and found a massive amount of blood. It was fresh. I was terrified. I didn't leave the cabin unless accompanied by an adult. They kept trying to tell me that they had shot a deer near that pile, but they didn't drop it. When we finally left, I was happy. I didn't tell anyone about that event. I thought that I would have been labeled as a liar or crazy. This is the first time I have ever shared this with anyone. I was driving on the Dalton Highway 100 miles north of the Arctic Circle, and I was pulled over for the night next to a river, just across a bridge. The highway parallels the Alaska pipeline, and so it's in the background. I have my dogs with me, a couple of Airedales. They're tough dogs in good company. I went about making a small fire. It was chilly, and I wanted something warm. I dug out the frying pan and got ready to fry some grayling that I had caught earlier that day at another river. I've got the fish in the pan and they're browning nicely, and both of my dogs sit up and look in the same direction in unison. There's no sound, though. Just from laying there to up and at attention. I look in the direction that they're looking, and it's not upwind. I can't see anything. I tend to my fish, and both dogs, in unison, start growling. First a small, low growl, almost a whine, and then more intense, and a teeth-bared growl. I'm not so interested in the fish anymore. I pull it off the fire, and I'm straining my eyes to see what they're seeing, but I don't see anything. Nothing at all. I try to get the dogs to snap out of it, push them, but they're almost quivering, staring, growling, and then they both start to back up. Slow, reluctant steps, straight backward. Away from the fire, away from me. I'm looking behind me trying to figure out what the heck is going on, but I don't see anything. I throw the pan back into the truck, toss a bucket of drinking water on the fire. As I pass by, get into the truck, call the dogs who break contact and rush to the truck, stuffing themselves over me into the cab. I start driving before the doors closed, back on the highway, down the road fast. I don't know what is there, but I felt it coming for me, and I'm sure of it. The dogs are looking back, growling and whining. I drive about 60 miles before I stop shaking. I'm not really an outdoorsman at all, but would go deer hunting with my grandfather in South Arkansas and North Louisiana. Lots of scary stuff out there. The fairly remote woods he lives in used to have families 60 to 100 years ago, but now it's just my grandparents, aunt, and two other families. Honestly, I couldn't even tell the area used to have sprawling farms, mansions, etc. It's just dense woods with a cemetery at the opening of the road. Despite being devoid of life, you never really feel alone out in those trees. He and my grandma would always tell us about the stuff they had seen out there. UFOs, ghosts, Bigfoot, just to name a few. Anyways, this one time he takes me off deer hunting when no one else is out. The family deer club keeps track of who's out there and when. It's early enough that it's still kind of dark out. We take a four-wheeler out 5 minutes off the dirt road, set off on foot for maybe another mile to a clearing that he calls the pit. It's a large area with a deep bowl in it. The trees are all around. We're standing at the top of it, looking down and to the tree line across. A pretty scenic spot. Perhaps not ideal for hunting, but we stop to sit and enjoy the sounds and the sky as daylight breaks. A rare sight amongst tall trees. We sit for a while. I remember it being cold, but not really having a breeze. The sounds of the birds stop suddenly. My grandpa looks at me and puts a finger to his mouth. Soon, we start to hear whispers. Male and female, but distant and unintelligible. We look at each other as if, "Do you hear that too?" and stay silent to make out the words. It seems to be coming from the trees across the pit. We stand up, so that hopefully, if they're hunters, they see us and our vest. What we thought were two voices multiplies until we hear the whispers come all around the clearing. Words I couldn't make out, but they felt so close, even to the trees closest to us. It wasn't fear as I've ever gotten from a movie or a jump scare. Just this primal, get the heck out of there feeling, enough to make my eyes well up with tears. Before we turn to do just that, the whispers stop. My grandpa and I wait for a second before we speak. Lots of words that would surely result in smacks from grandma. And we head out, guns in hand. I'm aware of all the rational explanations for this experience, but I will never forget choking down a sob of pure terror like that. Me and my dad went out deer hunting in Potter County, Pennsylvania once. We got there pretty late on a Friday night and we were going to go hunting on Saturday. For a little more background, our spot where we parked the truck is on the very side of a dark, remote road called 12 Mile Road. We parked and locked the truck, took out our hunting gear and our backpacks, which had everything we needed for that day. Then we hiked about 4 miles into the woods. It was about 10 p.m. by the time we made it to our spot. When we stopped, we drank some water and then proceeded to set up the camp. We had our tent set up and we were getting ready to settle in for the night when we hear something walking around the outside of our tent. We thought nothing of it, and considering that we had some food in the tent, it was probably just some sort of bear or raccoon maybe, which was our mistake. We were too tired to hang it in the tree. It slowly walked around our tent and then slowly walked away. Then eventually we heard the footsteps fade off in the distance. We fell asleep and I woke up around midnight to step outside and use the bathroom. I hear the same footsteps walking back toward me as soon as I open up the tent. I shine my light around and as soon as I see what comes from the sounds, I stopped. Keep in mind we are 4 to 5 miles from the nearest road, which was essentially a wide path, and about 20 miles from any sort of town. Maybe 7 miles from the nearest hunting camp, which makes the following very odd. I went and stepped back inside the tent and laid back down. About 3 minutes later, the footsteps were right outside the tent. Then I heard some whispering. I then woke my dad up and told him to be very quiet and to load his .30-06 rifle as I loaded my .300 Winchester Magnum. We laid still for what felt like forever until I heard from outside the tent, 3, 2, 1, open, and our tent door gets ripped wide open and there are two men trying to get into our tent. My dad and I both fire a shot, but hit nothing as the hooded figures were gone as soon as they saw we had firearms. We immediately packed our stuff up and raced to the truck, threw in drive, and hauled ass out of there. We went back to the nearest 24/7 convenience store, called the police, and then spent the rest of the night in the truck. I hope this never happens again, as it was easily the most scary thing that has ever happened to me and my dad. Ruined our hunting trip too. We have been to Potter County since, but I would never go near that spot where this happened. This is one of the scariest experiences I have ever had. My 80-year-old grandpa, who walks with a cane, has COPD and very bad knees that I will refer to as Papa, and I were whitetail deer hunting in the hills of Oklahoma. We had a spot right off the side of a mountain where we could walk off the side and find two separate trees to sit beside. Now, we had hunted this spot many times in the past and always saw something. The morning of that fateful day was foggy. We couldn't really see 10 feet in front of you. We got out at a spot right at daylight and were loading our guns. I only have a single shot .223 and he has a lever action .30-30. As I'm leaning over and drinking the last of my hot chocolate on the truck, something caught the corner of my eye. I could see something's feet slowly walk across the road we were parked on. Now, all I can see is four things moving across the ground and nothing above. It honestly looks similar to frog feet. I let Papa know by pointing it out, of course, but he can't see it. So we go ahead and walk in the woods, and the woods are deathly quiet for the rest of the morning. We go back to the camp and wait until about 3 so we can go back to our spot. Once we're back in our places by the trees, the woods are still deathly quiet. No birds, no bugs, nothing. Then I see it about 100 yards in front of us. Something flicking its tail. The tail flicking, I know, could be a cat. A big cat. This thing could move like a bat out of hell. Let me tell you that the moment I saw this thing, it seemingly knew and took off to our side like a rocket. I knew it was stalking us. I get it moving slow and got to my papa. I told him what was going on, and he gets serious and tells me we have to go and get up. He takes the front, and I walk backward and sideways up the hill, while he was there sitting for a few times, because, like I said, his bad knees We had to take multiple breaks. I see the cat every time, but he's always in a different spot. We finally made it back to the truck and got out of there. We didn't go back to that spot for another year or so. I've taken my yearly journey to the woods to hunt since I was 14. Last year started just like every other one before had, but it would end much earlier and in a very different way than usual. Despite the weather being too warm for hunting, I was at a dawn and on opening day like always. As the season drags on, the deer get more skittish, so starting as early as you can will increase your chances. On the lease I'd been hunting on for the past 7 years, I had a small handful of preferred spots, and this is where I was heading. This spot was a tree stand setting roughly 30 feet high in an old oak that looked out across one of our 3-feed plots. I'd had good luck there more than once and hoped to have it again. The drive out there to the stand took about probably 15 minutes or so from my cabin, so I left an hour before dawn. I wanted to be on the stand just as the first bit of light broke. As usual, I parked my four-wheeler about 50 yards away and walked the rest of the way in. I'm not sure if it makes any real difference, but not making a bunch of noise right next to where I'd be hunting seems like a wise idea, so it's a practice I try to remember to do each time I hunt. Although, I'd been up for over an hour and had a couple of cups of coffee, I was still a little bit groggy. I've never been a morning type of guy, and once I retired, I've gotten up when I woke up, no certain time. So, I slung my rifle onto my back and began the climb. About 3 steps from the top, with the seat in sight, one of my feet slipped from the ladder, and I fell about 25 feet onto my back. Somehow, my rifle ended up next to me rather than under. There was no pain at first, so I figured I'd just get up and dust myself off. However, I discovered very quickly that at least one, if not both, my legs were broken. As I sat up to examine my legs, the pain began shooting throughout my back and body. It appeared then that in addition to broken legs, I had incurred a major back injury. My usual high pain tolerance was letting me down, and the adrenaline was beginning to wear off. I knew in a matter of minutes I was going to be screaming in pain. I began feeling for my phone, and soon found in my chest pocket. Luckily, I didn't land on my chest. Right. Being out in the middle of nowhere didn't necessarily mean there wouldn't be any cell service. In my neck of the woods, cell towers are more common than trees. I dialed 911 and waited, but the call dropped off. The pain was making me very nauseous, and I was having a hard time concentrating. It took me a moment to realize I was going to need to move if I had any chance of getting help. I couldn't think of any other way, so I gritted my teeth and rolled over onto my stomach. The pain very nearly caused me to pass out, but the stars soon passed and I began pulling myself forward with my arms. I'd made it around 15 yards before I was forced to take a break. Once I'd pulled myself together, I tried to call 911 again, but it was a no-go. I looked around and noticed I was still under the trees, but there was a clearing not far away. I gritted my teeth again and pulled myself forward. I had to take a couple of breaks, but eventually, I was in the open. I crossed my fingers and pressed send. The wait was agonizing, but it finally began ringing, and I was connected to a dispatcher. The pain made the wait for help seem even longer. But because of my location and clear directions, they made it to me within 30 minutes. As I laid there, I watched the sunrise, thinking how beautiful a scene it was. I only wished it was under better circumstances. By the time I was released from the hospital a few days later, I would have had 2 broken legs, a broken back, which really amounted to 3 smashed vertebrae, and a mild concussion. The legs would have had to have healed with time, but with my back, I've had a couple of those vertebrae fused. That surgery was done just a few months before this year's hunting season, and you can be sure I was there, waiting for the sun to rise on the first morning. One thing has changed, however. For the time being, I'll be hunting from a blind on the ground. There's no way I'm going to go another year with an empty freezer, you know? Hello, Swamp. After hearing many other people's stories, I was convinced to share my own. This is a story of something that happened to me 8 years ago. I am an avid hunter and have been hunting since I was 13. Thinking about this story still gives me goosebumps. It starts off with me riding in the back of my dad's truck with my dad and my uncle in the mountains of Montpelier, Idaho. It was October, and we were deer hunting. I was asleep in the back seat and awoke when the truck stopped. I opened my blurry eyes and looked out the frosty window to see if it was still dark out. The sun had not yet risen. My dad says to my uncle, "That looks like a good spot," referring to a valley to the left of us that dropped down from the road and had mountains on both sides. The valley had a creek running down the middle and had yellow long weeds around the creek and looked like in the spring it could have been a marsh. The mountains had rocks, pine, and quaky aspen with some sagebrush. We all got out of the truck and put on our coats and gloves. My dad then says to me, "Me and your uncle will go down into the valley. You go up to that deer trail there, on top of those small mountains, and look over us. Maybe you will spot something over us, or maybe you could spook something toward us." Being the youngest person in the group at 20 years old and being in better shape than the other two, it was common for me to get unwillingly volunteered to do the most hiking or sent through the hardest terrain. I didn't mind though. I enjoy hiking and being in my youth, it was always easy for me. I agreed while rubbing the sleep out of my eyes and made sure I had all I would need. I gathered up my rifle, knife, and a walkie-talkie. Then we all headed out. I made my way through the trees up a steep deer path in the dark and cold. But the whole time I hiked, I had this weird feeling, as if I was being watched or something wasn't right. My body worked as if it was on autopilot, and I made it to the crest of the mountain quickly in about 30 minutes. I started looking around at the valley, and I was overlooking the mountains around me. It was just after twilight, and the sun was starting to peek up around the mountains. I could see my breath, and the sunrise was quite beautiful. Also, I was in a good spot in time for deer. As I looked across the mountain from the one I was on, I spotted a dot of orange. I grabbed my binoculars and looked at the dot of orange. It was another hunter, not my dad or uncle. I thought to myself, guess we weren't the only ones who thought this was a good spot. As I pulled a piece of Halloween candy out of my pocket and started to unwrap it, I start looking closer at my own mountain and surroundings. These mountains have what we call fingers. It's where the mountain goes down and back up again. On a few of these fingers over, I notice a big pine tree with sagebrush around it and something that looks like antlers. I get out my binoculars again and try to figure out what I'm looking at. At first, it looked like someone was kneeling under the tree with one of their arms holding on to a branch, and the antlers were a dead deer. As if someone was hauling down a dead deer on their back or something. But the more I looked, the more I could see that it was not a person, but something I could only describe as a dead deer with huge antlers and old skin that you could see bone through. It was kneeling under the tree with one arm going up to hold itself onto a branch. It was facing as if it was watching that same hunter I had seen across the way. I then see a big breath of cold air come from its mouth as it sensed me looking at it or something. It started to turn its head slowly toward me. At that moment, I heard a crack on my walkie-talkie, and it goes off, startling me. I drop my binoculars and hear my dad's voice come through the walkie-talkie saying, "Dakota, there are too many hunters here. Head back to the truck." With my heart pounding in my chest, I reach down and pick up my binoculars and look back at that spot. This time, though, there was nothing there but sagebrush and the big pine tree. After replying to my dad that I was making my way back down, I made my way back to the truck, the whole time gripping my rifle and trying to make it out in my head that I just saw something that I made up. I don't know. I didn't say anything to my dad or uncle when they got back and spent the whole day thinking about it. I eventually told myself I was just tired and imagined it or something. I didn't want him to think I was crazy. That night we stay in our camper and we have a stew for supper. We go to bed early so we can get up early again to go hunting more. During the night, I wake up and have that same feeling that I had that morning in the woods. I don't know what woke me up, but I lay there listening and hear something as if someone was walking around our campsite. I think it's maybe coyotes or some small animal getting into our garbage. After a while, it goes quiet, for about 5 minutes and I'm almost back to sleep, when suddenly from the direction of the woods by our camp, I hear, "Dakota, head back to the truck." This is not my story, but my dad's. He and some of his friends went hunting for his 21st birthday, hoping to catch some deer for some deer jerky. By the time they got to their favorite spot, there were three FBI vans on the scene, saying there was a wild bear attack, but something seems off about the attack. The bones had been cut clean, as in no skin was left behind. Keep in mind, my dad and his friends are professional hunters. They know what a black bear attack is, and this is definitely not a bear attack. It's like they were trying to cover up something. The three vehicles left the scene and just told him to be careful and always have your guard up. So obviously a little scared, they are still suppressing the hunt because they haven't been hunting in a few years, and this is where it took a turn for the worst. Whenever they got to their hunting tower, they all loaded their rifles and were ready to go at this point. They noticed this one particular deer. My dad said, "This is weird, because this deer is standing approximately 7 or 8 feet tall on its hind legs." One of his buddies said, "We need to go now." As soon as he said that, the thing turned and looked at all three of them. They said the color drained from their faces and they could feel that this thing was just evil. One of them aimed and fired at it, and it barely even left a dent on it, apparently. It let out this absolutely inhuman, high-pitched scream. They all ran back towards the truck. They knew this thing was chasing them, and it was screaming my dad's name for some reason. Once they got out of there, they said they saw the thing chasing after their truck. They said one of his buddies shot out and shot it in the leg, knocking it down, but only for a brief second. They were all scared whenever they got out of there, that they were pretty sure it was going to follow them home. But luckily, it doesn't seem like it ever did, because none of them ever saw it again. This happened about 4 years ago during the fall, during a deer hunt. My dad, my older cousin, and I had gone to our hunting camp for the weekend to see if we could get a deer. As we drove in, we were stopped by this huge rock sitting perfectly in the middle of the road. But honestly, we don't think much of it and just move it and head on our way. So fast forward to later that night, it was about 1 a.m., and none of us could sleep. We all just felt strange for some reason, and that's when it all started. We heard a god-awful ear-piercing noise from outside. I don't even know how to describe it. Honestly, I don't even know what it sounded like. I know you may think it might be wolves or a fox blasting or maybe even a bear, but I'm telling you it wasn't. I know what those sound like and it just wasn't the same. The weirdest thing was is that it sounded like it came from all sides and not just one singular spot. I was so scared that I just sat still, until I guess I just fell asleep over time. That morning, my cousin and I asked my dad what it was, and I will never forget my dad's face. He looked at me almost scared. My dad is the type of person who has grown up in the woods his entire life, and who always has a logical explanation for everything. My dad doesn't get scared, so to see him get worked up about that really rattled my cousin and me. We have both always looked up to my dad, so I guess this is what scared us the most about the ordeal. Anyway, the rest of the weekend went without incident, and nothing really happened in the year after. I will never forget that sound and seeing my dad genuinely scared and wondering whether the rock in the road and the noise had any connection. Anyway, that's just one of my creepy hunting stories. Thank you for sharing it. I come from a big country family. We live on a farm. We raise our own food and meat and animals. We hunt and process. My dad's first cousin is even a licensed taxidermist. So, we get a lot of hunting in. For a bit of backstory, on the homestead I grew up on and still live on, it was my parents, my pop's first cousin and his wife, me and my four sisters, and my four female second cousins. So, four adults and nine kids, with lucky me being the only boy. And sometimes my pop's brother comes to stay with us too, especially when hunting season is starting up. So, hunting season, which is usually the deer season which we hunt in, it's going on, and my pop's, his brother, Uncle K, and the cousins we both live with, Uncle V, are all getting ready to go hunting. Some of us kids decide to tag along. Me, who is 12, my sister S, who is 15, and my cousin A, who is 14. We get permission from one of my Uncle K's friends to hunt his land, a ways away. Basically several hundred acres of forest. This is an important fact. During the time we're setting up, my pops and uncle are being very quiet, while the three of us kids talk. My voice hasn't changed. This is important. Us kids keep chattering away, while the adults are letting us get our energy out while they check the survival equipment. They make sure the guns are clean and working, etc. Strong, silent southern types. There is a rustling in the thick brush around us, and suddenly three creepy-looking guys enter the clearing. They stop dead. One of them has a hand on his knife on his belt. They are clearly drunk out of their minds. They keep looking between me, S, and my dad and uncles, like they're debating something. My pops and uncle stand up. Every dude in my family is really big, to be honest. I'm 19 now and I'm 6'5". My dad is the biggest at 6'10", 280 pounds. Just a deeply intimidating man. And so are my Uncle V and K. The guys laugh nervously as my Uncle V picks up one of the rifles and points it at them. These dudes start running out the clearing like the devil was after them. My pops immediately says we're clearing out. My uncles don't even question it, and neither do us kids. We're freaking out and we totally take things down sloppy, but my pops doesn't say anything about us messing up his camping equipment. We get back into cell service and my dad calls the cops about seeing those weird guys out there, but they don't seem to think it's serious and nothing really happened. We also told the owner of the land, who took it more seriously, as he had kids of his own, but we never heard anything about them appearing again. Thanks for listening to these creepy stories from hunting trips sent in by viewers just like you. If you enjoyed these stories, please help me out and hit that like button, as it helps me out a ton. If you're new to the swamp, why not join us? Hit the subscribe button and turn on notifications to never miss a new video, as I upload them almost every single day, and all things natural and supernatural. If you have a story you would like to share in a future video, whether it's a hunting story or something else, be sure to submit it at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I would love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. It's stories like yours that help keep this show going. If you're not aware, you can download your favorite Swamp Dweller scary stories on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, and just about every other place you listen to podcasts. Thank you guys, as always, for supporting the Swamp the way you do. I couldn't be doing this every day without you. If you guys made it all the way to the end, please answer this question for me in the comments. What do you find more scary, Bigfoot or Dogman? I'll see you guys soon with another creepy video.